The next case is 95-16-16, Sumar Mishra versus Board of Zoning Appeals, Village of Foley.
May it please the court. My name is Ted Roberts. I represent the Board of Zoning Appeals of the Village of Poland, as does my co-counsel Stuart Banks. I will be presenting on behalf of the Board of Zoning Appeals. I'll reserve any remaining time for rebuttal. This is a unique case that arises under a very specific set of circumstances which are important to it. The lower courts have upset the action of the Board of Zoning Appeals, which tried to preserve for one lot within the Village of Poland the original professional zoning which was given to it in 1978 in a comprehensive zoning plan adopted by the Village of Poland for the entire village. It divided the village into various categories of zoning, such as professional, such as residential, such as commercial.
Mr. Roberts.
Yes.
When a statute is amended, is it repealed? It's an original section repealed in this case?
In this case, we would contend that it was not because of the unique circumstances of it. I say that because when the 1978 plan was amended in 1990 at the request of Appley to make his professional lot commercial, the neighbors living in the residential neighborhood behind it, through Mrs. Flask, filed an action in the Common Pleas Court of Mahoning County asking that the commercial amendment be enjoined. Judge Bannon enjoined that commercial amendment and said specifically that no use of that property except for the professional use may be maintained during the pendency of that action. So he kept alive the professional district while setting aside the ordinance which amended it to commercial. Within 4 months of that action, Poland Village Council repealed the amendment. And that is what is unique here, is that the amendment was repealed, thereby leaving the original plan unamended.
Well, I mean, you can't really run away from the fact that the ordinance that they had, they did enact an ordinance that amended the 78 comprehensive plan. That ordinance. So they did amend the ordinance.
Yes.
So forgetting this case, do you agree that when an ordinance is amended, it is also repealed thereby? Is repeal a result?
It is repealing the prior ordinance. Yes.
Are you saying that the repeal in this particular, because we have to look at the facts in this case, the stay the repeal, it never went into effect? Is that what you're contending?
No, the stay ineffectuated the amendment from professional to commercial and kept in place the professional designation.
That was my question.
Within months after that, Village Council eliminated the amendment, thereby we saying the obvious purpose was to maintain the underlying professional zone that the original plan required.
Then your argument is that the repeal ordinance never really went and took effect.
The amending repeal ordinance never took effect. That is correct.
So, reading section 731.19, we have to, read that by saying that except unless that language is so straightforward to me that I guess I'm having some difficulty in accepting, being persuaded by your argument. We have to say that unless the court suspends, execution of the council's action or something, is that what we do, or how do we get around the statute?
What we say here is that the statute is not necessary under the circumstances of this case. Because the requirement of the statute, and that is to provide clarity as to the purpose and action of counsel, was achieved by way of judicial injunction and legislative repeal. The original underlying professional zone was always maintained. We don't have an unzone of this one parcel. We have an unamendment.
You wouldn't be here today if there had not been an injunction granted by the trial court because of 731.19.
You may very well be correct, because our argument does rely on the unique circumstances of this case. We recognized very specific requirements of 731.19. However, we also recognize case law, as cited in the brief, that will recognize repeal by implication. We therefore believe the court can recognize revival by implication under the circumstances of this case. With that, I would also remind the court that the repeal of the amendment also rejected the Planning Commission's recommendation that this lot be changed from professional to commercial. Therefore, if you read the repealing ordinance in conjunction with the underlying amendment which is being repealed, you will see that the recommendation by the Planning Commission, which said move it from professional to commercial, is being rejected. Therefore, it never occurred. Therefore, the professional underlying zone was maintained. Thank you. I'll reserve my time.
Let me ask you one question before I sit down. I didn't understand from either brief why there was an injunction of the City Council's action granted. I don't understand the underlying basis for that. What is the court the jurisdiction to enjoin a council action on an omnibus zoning issue?
That action, as I recall, Your Honor, had to do with the manner and method and the underlying actions of the Planning Commission and whether there had been appropriate actions taken to actually amend it from professional to commercial. There was a temporary restraining order placed on the matter because it was a relatively new case. And shortly after that initial action in that case where Judge Bannon provided the restraint, Village Council reconsidered the amendment from professional to commercial and eliminated the commercial during the pendency of that restraining order.
Yeah, but if the injunction was not properly, I wasn't even sure where the jurisdiction came to give an injunction on what didn't appear to be a contest over an individual specific piece of property. Because if the injunction, the restraining order, the injunction was not proper, then you don't have the subsequent repeal, allegedly repealing the whole ordinance. Because the original ordinance is still in place.
The injunction was never found to be improper. The case, shortly after the repeal by Village Council, was dismissed.
But that was a second step.
That was the first case involving this lot. There have been three cases. This is the third.
That's my point.
That first one brought by the neighbor to halt the commercial zone had a temporary restraining order issued, but it did not go to a full trial on that case. And before it did, Council repealed the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Roberts. Mr. Stevens.
May it please the court. I think we should start with actually what happened in this case. And I want to state it first, that the cases cited by the appellant about temporary restraining orders and so on, was that issue was not raised in the trial court. And there is no rule that is more settled in the state of Ohio that an issue that is not raised in the trial court cannot be raised in the court of appeal. And I have pointed that out in my brief, and I want here to state an objection to receiving any ordinance, any evidence of that kind, even though I must say that the only things involved in those previous cases was whether the ordinance first adopted was proper. In other words, whether it should have been rezoned commercial, and that is something that is not an issue here. It is not an issue here. Now, I think we ought to go back to the beginning to get the basis of the Common Pleas Court's ruling and the Court of Appeals ruling. Now, Revised Code 731.19 provides that no ordinance can be revived unless the repealing ordinance would contain the entire ordinance of the previous ordinances trying to be revived. In other words, that ordinance must set out, in this case, the professional office and service ordinance, which they claimed was revived. There is no, in that ordinance which was repealed, there is absolutely no mention made of reviving the professional office and service classification. And when that happened, they repealed it. Nothing wrong with the repealing statute. They repealed it, but they took no action for 1 year and 9 months to zone that land. And common sense tells you that in that period there was no classification for that parcel, and therefore that land was unzoned. And after a period of 1 year and 9 months, the appellee filed an application to get a permit to build what they call Village Center Commercial, which is a combination of professional offices and retail services.
What effect does an injunction have on a pending matter? For instance, in this case, the council passed the commercial, that commercial amendment, that was enjoined. Does the injunction make it as though it never was?
No. The purpose of that injunction is to withhold any further action until a court makes a determination. It certainly doesn't eliminate.
Well, that's a temporary restraining
order. Temporary restraining order.
When you mature that into a preliminary and finally an injunction in and of itself, does that not say that the legislation never was?
There was never any injunction, permanent injunction. There was only a preliminary injunction in this case, and the purpose was that.
Beyond the temporary restraining order?
No, there was no injunction went beyond the temporary restraining order.
Those are different.
Yes,
A TRO is different than a preliminary injunction. Here you had an injunction, did you not?
Well, a preliminary injunction pending the outcome of that case, but it did not eliminate the Village Center Commercial, and council recognized that, because when they repealed the Village Center Commercial, they specifically referred to the ordinance as being in effect. Otherwise, there would have been nothing to repeal. But they recognized it was there, and they spelled it out, that they were repealing such and such an ordinance. Now,
opposing counsel alleges that the way the land is left is a strip point. Is that true, that you have no control at all now of the land of your jurisdiction?
I don't understand that. I didn't hear that.
If your land is unzoned, can you not do anything with it at this point, such as strip mining? That's what the other side alleges.
No, but here, that may be in effect in some cases, but here, when the appellee filed a permit, the permit was for a village center commercial, and therefore it could never be used for strip mining, for anything else other than what the appellant applied for.
Yeah, but he applied for that under the action of the council to make it commercial. What Justice Stratton is indicating, that's always what used to bother me as a councilman about these kind of cases. You could put a gas station up on it.
No, we couldn't.
Why? You just withdraw your application?
You certainly couldn't in this, and if you could...
You just withdraw your application for the extended commercial, and then go because the property's unzoned and put whatever you want on it, a slaughterhouse.
Well, if you put whatever you want on it, then whose fault is it?
Well, but you concede that you could do that. That
well,
was the question.
Under some circumstances,
under
you could.
Under these circumstances.
But as I pointed out in my brief, that is not the fault of the appellee. That is the fault of city council. And that's why I pointed out that here for one year and 9 months, they did nothing and allowed that land to be unzoned when they should have realized exactly what you're talking about. But if they left it unzoned, then of course you can make whatever use. And in fairness to the village, my man just made an application for a very low intent use.
Is there anything in the nature of a comprehensive zoning plan that would limit the unzoned parcel? I guess that's what you have here. It's only the section was repealed. Would limit the ability to put up a gas station or a slaughterhouse or whatever in the midst of comprehensive zoning plan.
Well, in the first place, the only zoning plan in effect in the village was that when council adopted the original zoning ordinance, which covered the whole area.
Right.
And in that situation, as you probably realize, the Planning Commission makes a recommendation, goes to the city council, and so on. And from thereafter, all zoning of individual lots is based upon compliance with 71907 or 71307 and 71319. And in that situation, the only zoning plan, and there's no underlying comprehensive plan floating around here, the only zoning plan is that which was adopted in 1978 when council approved the recommendation of the Planning Commission.
Isn't the, I guess I'm still looking at, hung up with this statute here that seems so clear to me, 731.19. It seems to me the intent of the statute is to avoid situations just as we have here, that council needs to say what it is it's doing. It's going to revive an ordinance, it needs to say it. It's going to amend it needs to say it. And I guess I asked Mr. Roberts, of course, this question, and I'd like your response. It seems to me that whatever a court does, if it's a preliminary injunction, as we have here, not expressly declaring this ordinance to be void, that it shouldn't have any effect on the statute. I mean, the statute is pretty clear that it's council's responsibility to do what it is, to say what it is they want to do with respect to zoning. And the fact that a court says you can't do this for some period of time doesn't have anything to do with what the statute says their duty is. Is that essentially your argument, or am I off track?
Well, I think you're right. When you have 731.19, when you're acting under that, and they don't follow that and include the entire previous ordinance in there, then there certainly can never be an underlying the former ordinance that's revived. That is very clear from the law, certainly. Now, I want to...
Counsel, would they... Do you comply with what you say, Counsel? The village council failed to do. Would they need to go back and re-enact the entire comprehensive plan, or would it be sufficient to just say, as to these in lots,
they are
to be returned to the class, we're repealing this ordinance and we want to return to the classification?
No, of course that wasn't contained in the ordinance, that language.
I realize that, but would that be sufficient?
No, because...
You say they have to...
They would have to comply with 713.07 and 713.12, where they would have to go to the Planning Commission, have a hearing, have a recommendation from the Planning Commission that the zoning should be adopted, and then have the public hearing and the notice of the hearing, and have the hearing before the trustees.
Council has to do all that?
Yes, sir. Before, and that's what 713.07 and 713.12 provide, because the purpose of that, one of the purposes, is that there are safeguards to the public embodied in those statutes, which allows exactly what I'm saying, that the public has a right to have to attend a hearing before the Planning Commission, to have the Planning Commission follow the law, and to attend a hearing before the trustees, so that there's nothing just done surreptitiously and on the moment. And I want
to change that whole scheme.
The only way council could change the whole scheme, and I don't think there is a way that they could change the whole scheme, because the statutes involved were adopted by the legislature of the state of Ohio. They apply to municipal corporations, and the municipal corporation could not of itself amend any state statute. Now, I'd like to go to...
Well, let me stop you there, because I'm wondering about your answer to Justice Piper's question. The statute doesn't require that process, does it? The statute just really says that they have to state the... What would they do here, I guess, would be to restate the former ordinance that under which the property was zoned.
In the 731.19,
right.
But they didn't.
But your Justice Piper's question to you was... If they do that, do they have to go back through the whole process of having hearings and...
I'm sorry. Yes. No, if they have that ordinance, prior ordinance, in their repealing ordinance, they would not have to go back. But here, of course, they didn't have it, and that's my point.
Yeah.
Since they
that's my question.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
What do you maintain they have to do it right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is to restate the entire original ordinance.
And that's what the law is, Your Honor. Yes. Now, I'd like to go to this question of implied repeal that they were talking about. Now, implied repeal involves that doctrine says that this repeal doctrine is based upon the question of whether there is repugnancy, contradiction, and irreconcilability between an ordinance which is adopted and the previous ordinance which is repealed. Now, there's no question here about any ordinance adopted by village council that was done properly. That issue is not in this case. There's no reconcilability necessary because none of those things apply because each ordinance was adopted properly and stands on their own feet. There's no confusion between them, nothing contradicting. Now I would like to point out the dissent by Judge Cox that his argument was that zoning anarchy had been created by deregulating the Appellee's lot here. In other words, making it unzoned is what he's talking about. The truth is, as I pointed out, that if that would be possible, or was that in effect, then that's the failure of a council. But there'd be no zoning anarchy here, because Poland Village Council had and has a zoning ordinance which is perfectly proper in place, and if that was true, all they had to do was to rezone that land according to the law. And then to say that the rezoning of 1 3-acre lot in the whole village of Poland would create zoning anarchy certainly is very, very far-fetched. Now, he also, all the cases, and I want to point this out to the court, that Judge Cox in his dissent, all those cases involved substance, and that is the use of the land. There is nothing here we're talking about the use of the land. What we're talking about here is procedure only. Whether they followed 731.19 and whether they followed 713.07 and 12. That's the only thing involved here. And they did neither. And I thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Mr. Roberts, you've saved about 6.5 minutes of your time. Let me ask you before you get into your argument, as I read Judge Bannon's order, he, as you know, there restrains employees and so forth in the city. They are hereby restrained and enjoined pending the determination of this action from the following acts or conduct. That was October 9th, October of 90. And then in January of 1991, the council came back and rejected and repealed that ordinance. The trial court didn't really repeal the ordinance, did it?
No, it did not.
It really said, until further determination, city, you cannot act on the ordinance. The city read that and for some reason decided that we're going to change our mind and went back and changed their mind. Why doesn't 731 apply to that action of council?
731 doesn't apply because we do not believe, as I said earlier, in the context of all these circumstances, it is not required. You are correct that Judge Bannon preliminarily enjoined any commercial activity or use of this property and said you can't use it for anything other than the professional zone which was originally given to it. Therefore, there was no effective change of this professional zone to commercial during the pendency of that case. 4 months later, after the preliminary injunction, City Village Council legislatively, not by order of the court, but legislatively reconsidered and repealed that commercial amendment.
Mr. Roberts, right. The nuances that you want to use for this case, you don't find the authority for that in any case, I take it.
This is a unique set of circumstances, and we are asking
which
that the court...
There is no authority.
There is no specific authority. We are asking the court to exercise its discretion.
I understand, but wouldn't it really be live whole purpose of 731.19 to permit nuances such as you suggest, that there's a preliminary injunction out here, and therefore didn't, citizens would not have notice of what the zoning is without searching court records and then making a legal determination about whether or not a preliminary injunction affects the repeal or not of the ordinance, and whether what is the status of the zoning. One will only know that by searching court records and making some, and not even that, you know, somebody has to also then make a legal determination, which there's disagreement among the lawyers here about what effect that is. Doesn't your position sort of contradict the intent and the purpose of the statute you're talking about?
I do not believe it violates the statute. I believe there is a difference. Mr. Stevens says we're here on a matter of procedure. I believe we're here on a matter of substance. And that is to maintain, in this case, the underlying safety net of a comprehensive general zone plan, and not to allow a hole in it to be torn simply because of the uniqueness of this situation. The village was not unsure as to the zone of this one lot in the village when Appley applied for an unzoned zoning permit. The village said, no, it's professional. We eliminated the commercial amendment. The village was very clear. There was no need, as opposed to what Attorney Stevens says, to go back during the time after the repeal of the amendment to make any other change. The village was very clear in what it was doing. It was eliminating that one blip on the radar screen, that commercial amendment,
except
and going back to the professional.
Except that someone looking at the January 8, 1991 ordinance could wonder, which is exactly what the statute is directed at, could wonder, well, the council wanted to change the zoning for this piece of property back whenever they did it,
mm-hmm.
and they did that. Now they're saying, we don't want to change it that way. We're not sure what it is council wants to do. Isn't that precisely what 731 is designed to do, is to say to council, you have to say clearly to the citizens how this property is zoned. It's not really that difficult, is it? It seems to me you're asking us to take a statute that is very clear, and because we've got some equities here going for perhaps for your client, to try to get around it and try to create an exception, which to me, it's going to open up the statute to all sorts of factual situations coming in and saying, well, here's this special situation that council really meant to do it this way, but they didn't. The statute is so clear. Just do it the way the statute says, and we don't have, I mean, if council made a mistake, council made a mistake. But we can't correct all mistakes that are made when the statute's violated, can we?
We don't believe the statute was violated under the circumstances of this case, and we do believe that the court should do the appropriate thing in this situation as counsel was trying. If the ordinance of 1991 in January is read in its totality, it also rejects the recommendation of the Planning Commission, which was to change the zone from professional to commercial. Once you reject that recommendation, you go back to no change, you have the underlying professional.
I don't want to make your argument for you, but don't you, isn't your weakness really that you're defending the action of counsel? You shouldn't be. If the injunction, and it does specifically say you're hereby restrained and enjoined, then if that is enjoined from taking any action thereunder, then any action that counsel took is a nullity.
The action that counsel took was, I believe, in direct reaction to
so
the
what?
Court.
So what? If you defend the action of the council, then the statute comes into play.
I understand your point.
And if the council's action was a nullity because it wasn't in effect because of the injunction, then no matter what the council did, the underlying zoning ordinance is still in effect. And I understand why.
I understand, except that in the meantime, that case was dismissed. And that's why these two actions, the judicial action and the legislative action, piggyback to save the safety net of the professional zone.
Your case would be somewhat stronger, at least with me, I guess. I don't know whether it would be a winning argument with me, but if the trial court had made a final determination of the merits. The order of the trial court to me said, now maybe I don't understand Judge Bannon, but any judge who says pending determination of the action usually means there's going to be a further decision by the trial court on the merits, underlying merits of the case. And until I can get to that, parties and lawyers, we're going to enjoin the city from acting on the new ordinance. That's what that means.
That's
isn't
right.
It?
And then when and the city in the meantime, council, the council eliminated got, that, there yeah. was no need to proceed with the case.
But just so we understand, the court here, the trial court here, didn't change any zoning.
No,
ultimately.
It preserved what was there before
right.
and told the parties no one can do anything right. except using it professionally. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised for opinion. We'll take